welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center, hometown hospital for the New York Giants. I'm Paul Dottino, as always, joined by David Deal, and we'll be bringing you all the New York Giants news that you need to know going into Week 2 against the New Orleans Saints. Now, the Giants are coming off of a Week 1 win in Dallas, 20-19, a real squeaker. And, David, that ends a five-consecutive-year losing streak that the Giants have had on opening day.
It most certainly does, and what it does is it gives this football team confidence moving forward with a win in the division, which we all know how important they are at the end of the season. But also, after the preseason and hearing all the critics, they now can silence it, focus on what they need to do and to improve, and start at home this week against the Saints, leaving off where they started last week in Dallas.
Good news for the Giants on the injury front. Only defensive tackle Robert Thomas, he is ill. The only guy not able to practice today. Now, the bad news, though, coming out of that Dallas game, linebacker JT Thomas was lost because of torn ligaments in his knee. He's been placed on injured reserve, and defensive tackle Monterre Hughes has been brought back to the roster. The Giants certainly had a very stout front four the other day.
They most certainly did.
All right, let's go to head coach Ben McAdoo. He's at the podium right now.
All right, we're looking forward to the opener, home opener versus Saints. Offensively, they're a multiple and creative unit. They use their personnel. They use all their personnel, and they make you defend the whole field. They're led by future Hall of Famer and Drew Brees. They have a lot of variety at the skill positions. They come in a variety of shapes and sizes. Their offensive line is a group that's gelling together. Defensively, Dennis Allen's their crew challenges schematically. They give you a lot of different looks. Led by veteran playmakers Jordan Bird and Ellerby. Laurinaitis was brought in and is really communicating with the group, getting them all on the same page that way. They're big, physical, and heavy-handed up front. With the defensive line group, and they have some gritty young corners out there that are getting better each and every week. Special teams, their coverage units have good speed, and we got to be on our toes. They have a history of taking chances on special teams. So with that, we'll open it up to questions.
It's just one game. P.J. Williams, what did you see from him on tape?
Give me that one more time.
P.J. Williams, the quarterback, the Saints quarterback.
Again, they're young, scrappy guys. They're getting better each week, and you know, they're battling, and again, they do a lot of things schematically to help those guys out.
Are there things schematically you can do to take advantage of the youngness and the inexperience they have?
The youth. Yeah, the youth at corner. Again, they're scrappy young players. We like our receivers, and we feel that that we match up very well there. But again, we need to respect them. We need to go through the week of practice, and we need to be able to handle everything they throw at us schematically.
Coach, you guys had a shootout with the Saints last season. What's the biggest difference you can tell from their team this season as compared to last year when you guys faced them at the Superdome?
Well, there are a lot of new – I mean, the defense is led by a different coordinator, number one. So the scheme has changed. They have a lot of new faces on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, they're a different team. We're a different team. It's a new season. And you learn from the past and you move on.
You play a lot of games like that, maybe not necessarily that wild, but do you go into a game like this assuming that it's going to be pretty high scoring?
No, not at all. You play the game as it unfolds. Offensively, they're very productive in their explosive plays. They have a lot of explosivity, over 15% of their plays. Defensively, they're over 14% of their plays they give up explosives on. But, you know, we're going to play the game as it unfolds, and it's about execution in all three phases.
Have you ever been a part of a game like last year? I mean, 100 points, basically.
Yeah, against the Saints in 2011, the game after the Super Bowl in Green Bay, it was a very high-scoring game. Came down to a goal-line stand at the end there, but it was high-scoring. They do a good job putting points on the board.
Did last year almost get, I mean, not out of control because you're on offense and you're scoring a lot of points, but it just seemed almost like fantasy football or something. You know, nobody could stop anybody.
No, down in the Dome, I had a chance to coach there for one season. Things get a little wild down there in the Dome. We're fortunate to have them here in front of the home crowd. Expect the Giants fans to have a lot of noise and make it tough on them.
How excited are you for the home opener, Coach?
I'm excited. Again, I'm excited for to go in and take a look at the tape from practice and move on to tomorrow's practice. We got a great practice for tomorrow for these guys, and we're gonna take care of our preparation first.
Last year, the Saints game was one of those six games you guys lost in the last 2 minutes. How important was this game this past week to you guys to not fall into that trap again late in the game to let them come back?
Nobody's thinking of last year, let alone last week. We're moving forward. We're worried about this week. We learned from the past. We're moving forward.
You say you guys are different teams from last year, but does that game hold any value in terms of scouting for this one?
No.
I know you don't like to look in the rear view mirror, Ben, but do you have to bring that up to the defense? I mean, what a disaster. I mean, some of the guys have said that game was defensively last year.
Well, you like I said, you learn from the past. You look at some things conceptually from the past, and you move on. We're a different team than we were last year, and we're going to play the game this Sunday.
What's the challenge in disrupting the timing of that offense and Drew Brees?
Well, again, they have, you know, Drew's a very talented player, very smart, productive, and he uses all his players and uses the whole field wisely. He does some things to challenge you and schematically and in empty formations and distributes the ball well. So you have to defend the whole field. And they have, again, all shapes and sizes at the skill position. They have speed. They have size. They can finesse you. They can play with some physicality. So they do a nice job with their skill players.
He usually gets the ball out so quick. Does it become more important to sort of try to disrupt the timing with the secondary on the receivers, or you know, hit them a little bit? Or
there's some different things you can do to disrupt timing. That's one of them.
Coach, what's the plan to contain Brandon Cooks this week at receiver?
You want to come into the meeting room? No. You know, he's a good, talented player. Very productive last week. He's been in the past. He's really developing into a complete receiver inside and outside form, so we have our hands full there.
Where are you at free safety? Do you plan to play both guys, or is Darian back to being the one guy?
Yeah, we feel fortunate and blessed in that regard. We have a handful of guys who can come in and play for us, and they did a nice job last week.
The way you ran the football late in the game in the opener, does that give you confidence about this rushing attack going forward this year?
Yeah, we're confident, you know, one week at a time, but we're going to be confident in the run game this week. We want to play balanced football. We want to be physical and heavy-handed up front, and we feel we can do that.
What do you think from Sterling Shepard at this point? I mean, are there still, we obviously saw the interception. Is there still a bunch of rookie mistakes? And how do you sort of
he's not a guy that he doesn't make a bunch of mistakes. He'll make some mistakes like some young receivers do, but he learns from them and he moves on. He can take hard coaching.
You mentioned the other day about some guys with some bumps and bruises. Yeah, he looks like 52 or 53 out there again today when we were out here enjoying the way the guys came back and practice for them off of Sunday.
Yeah, we need to start practice faster. We didn't start practice fast enough today, and we need to make a point of getting that right tomorrow.
But as far as health goes, everybody was out there 54.
Yeah, we had, yes.
What's Robert Thomas?
He's still has an illness.
Not that long ago, rookies kind of had to earn their stripes in this league. They didn't play right away very often. I mean, what's changed that makes you, so confident to start a lot of these young players?
Well, I have confidence, first of all, in our coaching staff. I have confidence in our scheme that we can integrate players right away. The league has changed. It's gotten younger. So the rookies aren't that far behind as they used to be, maybe. And I think we have a nice crew of young, conscientious players.
Thomas has been out a while now with that illness. How serious is it? Was he hospitalized at all?
I don't know. When he comes back, they'll let me know.
Do you know when he'll come back?
When they let me know, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Is he here at all with the team, or is he still?
He's been in the building, yes.
Just to go back to that rookie comment, sort of on the other end of the spectrum, when you look at a guy like Casillas, I mean, how rare is it to have a guy be a little bit of a late bloomer in this league?
He came into the league. He fought his way onto the Saints right away, won a Super Bowl, did the same thing in New England. Fortunate that he was out there for us, and he's come in and done a nice job and really has grown into one heck of a linebacker and one heck of a special teams player in the league.
You've had a couple of practices. How has Ryan Nassib responded to Josh Johnson being here, and where do you stand at that quarterback?
Yeah, Ryan and Josh are out here competing for a job. It's healthy. All right. Anything else, Pat? We good? All right, that's it. Thank you.
And so Ben McAdoo heads back to continue his preparations for the New Orleans Saints. That would be week two on the Giants' schedule. In week one, the defense did a good job in Dallas, but there's another big test ahead in Drew Brees. We'll talk about it after this. No, I say McAdoo goes out to practice, and then I realize practice is over, and he's taped, and so I can't do. And welcome back to Giants press conference live here on MSG. It is time for a Geico 15-second recap. 15 seconds can save you 15% or more on your car insurance. And really, the news of the day, David, in talking about the Giants and Saints, last year they had an NFL record-breaker kind of game with 13 combined touchdown passes between the two quarterbacks. Coach McAdoo says that's not relevant this week.
That's 110 points what were scored during that game, which is the third most in NFL history. And I know that he said that it has no bearing on this one, but you're definitely going to go back and look at some of the scheming, some of the personnel. But I will say this, on the defensive side of the ball, Rob Ryan was the one calling the shots last year. So with the new defensive coordinator in Dennis Allen, it is going to be a different perspective to look at it.
Well, let's talk about the Giants' defense for just a second. Against Dallas last week, 30 rushes by the Cowboys for 101 yards. But for me, the key number, Alfred Morris had the Cowboys' longest run of the day of only 13 yards.
He really did. And if you looked at the plays, I looked 30 combined runs. I graded the Giants with 17 wins in those runs. And you're not just talking about the defensive line. Eli Apple, Janoris Jenkins on the outside did a great job with run support. Biggest one, Landon Collins being able to be the second one in tackles. You could really see his addition being able to be that man in the box to seal things up. And Olivier Vernon, stout at the point of attack, doing a great job against Tyron Smith. So it's very exciting to see this run defense step up, play the way that they did, because now what it will do, it's going to create those third and long opportunities where JPP, Olivier Vernon, and the rest of this crew can pin their ears back and really get after quarterbacks.
Another really good game for defensive captain Jonathan Casillas. Double digits, led the team in tackles. You saw some of those clips there. The Giants held the Cowboys to 1 of 3 in the red zone. Dallas was forced to settle for those field goals.
It was a bend but don't break, and which was huge in the second quarter to be able to have those stops. But the biggest thing that I feel was miscued in this one is the time of possession, because everybody looks at it and that Dallas won it. But with those long drives, with those plays, they made Dak Prescott go the field, go the entire length, and still had those big stops when needed.
The Giants D did not give up any big plays. In fact, Dez Bryant, the big-time playmaker for the Cowboys, held to one catch for only 8 yards on 5 targets, and Janoris Jenkins gets a tip of the cap on this one.
He most certainly does, but so does DRC, his ability to play inside and out and show that flexibility. So it was a combined group effort, and you talk about the three safeties between Burhey, Thompson, and
Apple.
Apple. You talk about those three being able to combine, have a little bit of a rotation out there with Landon Collins. It's only going to provide more flexibility for Steve Spagnuolo to use these players to their strengths.
Now, I know Coach McAdoo said last year really doesn't matter, but guess what? Drew Brees did throw 7 touchdown passes against the Giants last year, tied an NFL record, had 505 yards in that game, and you know he's throwing it again Sunday.
You're talking about a completely different animal from last week, Dak Prescott, to now Drew Brees. He is an elite quarterback for a reason. He can improvise. He can do things at the line of scrimmage that other quarterbacks cannot do. And a lot of times when he's doing those hand language, those signals, he's just doing it for show. So these young safeties have to make sure that they keep their eyes and their landmarks tight, because you know he's going to try to look things off and change the coverages.
Brandon Cooks, the big play threat for the Saints, averaged 24 yards a catch last week. A 98-yard touchdown was one of his 2 scores.
He had 6 for 143. And the big thing that you have to make sure is that you make sure that you've got to get some jam or press to him at the line of scrimmage, because if you let him run free like you're seeing on the screen, he has that home run hitting ability. So for the safeties with Drew Brees, they got to make sure that they do not let him get behind the coverage.
And if you can believe it, he wasn't the leading receiver for Brees in that game. It was Willie Snead, 9 grabs for 172 and a touchdown.
He had a 49-yard touchdown, and he continued to excel last season until this season. You can really see that now Drew Brees is targeting him much more. But he's not the only one that you have to worry about, because he's going to get his catches. The ones that we really have to focus on, Colby Fleener at tight end and Travaris Cadet out of the backfield. These are 2 guys that are going to try to make the mix, either out of it as an extension of the screens out of the running back, out of Cadet, or the crossing routes by Colby Fleener. They're going to try to create those one-on-ones against the middle linebackers of the Giants and the rest of the crew. So it's going to be very important to seal those up so that they don't get those deep balls down.
I want to talk about Cadet for a second. Targeted 7 times in this game. He's taken over the role that C.J. Spiller had. Spiller was actually cut by the Saints after being inactive.
They're still trying to find their niche and trying to replace Darren Sproles. And as of last year, C.J. Spiller did not do it. They're hoping that Cadet can fill that void this season.
So coming out of the backfield, the Giants linebackers, who did a nice job last week, have shown throughout the preseason they can cover. We talked about Casillas earlier. Don't forget about Keenan Robinson, good in coverage too.
Very good in coverage, and he has to make sure in these things, like I said, with the tight ends, with the running backs, that they're going to try to use an extension not only of the run game, but those intermediate routes. Those are the big things that they need to make sure they stop so that they're not worried each and every time about getting the long ball to Cooks.
Now, David, when the Saints keep the ball on the ground, it's Mark Ingram who's going to get the bulk of the carries. Last year against the Giants, 16 runs for 80 yards, and he really pounds it out.
He really does, and this is something that you know that they're going to try to make an emphasis so that they can get those play actions with Drew Brees going. But they're going to have to swarm tackle. You can see him continuing to press his legs, push the pile. So sound tackling and making sure you wrap him up down at the legs and not at the top is going to be very important in this game.
All right. Well, when we come back, we will talk more about this ball game. The Saints want to turn it into arena football. The Giants, well, their offense would like to dictate the tempo. We're back with more on MSG right after this. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center here on MSG. You know, David, I'm looking at some of the numbers here, and I say, wow, the Giants offense only had the ball for a little over 50 snaps. But, boy, they made use of them. They scored 3 touchdowns.
They most certainly did, and they were good down in the red zone, which is very important, which is very difficult on the road, especially week one. But it is going to be very important in this game, Paul, that they control the line of scrimmage and they get as many plays as possible using that play clock to their advantage so you can keep Drew Brees off of the field and dictate the tempo of this football game.
Now, in continuing to analyze that Dallas game, the Giants ran 3 minutes off the clock with their 4-minute offense. Rashad Jennings had 7 straight carries for 40 yards and 2 first downs, leaving the Cowboys only 75 seconds and no timeouts to go.
That is a complete attitude drive, 4-minute. They know that you're running the football, but the ability to be able to do it, control the game, take that much time off of the clock, it goes to show they knew how important it was in order to finish. That's something that they talked about going from last season to this year and closing out games when they need to.
And Eli was very balanced with his passing attack through to 7 different targets. Cruz, Shepard, and Donnell all catching touchdown throws.
Which is going to be huge in this game because of the injuries that they have in the defensive backfield. But this is great. You have 3 terrific route runners coming into this, into their own. The confidence that you have in Victor Cruz coming off of last season, getting back, getting acclimated, and showing that he has that speed and that jukes it to win those one-on-ones. We all see Sterling Shepard scoring that touchdown. They're only going to continue to grow and find ways to play in unison with one another.
It is time for our Twitter question. Let's put that up on the board, guys. And at SpainMan1991 says, how big of a season do you think Victor Cruz can have? 4 catches for 34 yards, including a 3-yard touchdown catch with 6 minutes to go the other day.
He can have a huge impact because of the ability of opening up things when you're going to bracket all of your coverage towards Odell Beckham Jr., and it's going to help out the rookie in Sterling Shepard. This touchdown that he scored in this game was improvised. It wasn't the route that he was supposed to run, but he found the opening. He knew where to get into the breaks, and he sat there, and only he could do that, and Odell Beckham Jr., because of the time and reps that they've had with Eli Manning.
We've talked about how Victor may have to shake some of the rust off. Do you have any doubts about him right now? Is it full go? Victor Cruz is what he's going to be now?
I think it's full go, because now he has that confidence that he can hit that next level, turn it up the next notch. And it all is out about getting out onto the football field, getting the reps. And now it's in the past. Now he's pushing forward and figuring out how he can get better each and every week with the time lost.
All right. I know one thing the Saints want to get better at is defense. In losing to the Raiders last week, 35-34, they gave up 25 first downs and 486 yards of offense.
So you're going to find out that in this game, Dennis Allen is going to try to do a lot of different things schematically to try to give different looks, to hide their coverage, to do different things to get the pressure that they need on Eli Manning, because that's something that they're still lacking, that ability to create a pass rush and affect the quarterback. So up front for the offensive line, going to be very important because they're going to try to attack down the bow right through the middle of the lanes and the quarterback.
Now, defensively, a big problem that Saints will have is how to deal with the Giants receivers. Delvin Bro, their best corner, is out because of a broken leg. That means Crowley, Williams, and Harris are the 3 top corners who are going to play a lot. Guess what, David? They made their NFL regular season debuts last weekend.
And you think about the game that Odell Beckham Jr. had against him last year with 8 catches and 3 touchdowns, and that was a breakout game for Dwayne Harris. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities to do things, to disguise the schemes, to make sure that they open up those one-on-ones and make these safeties get eaten up in play action so they can go over the top.
And I think it's significant here to understand that all 3 of the Giants' top receivers are very good route runners. Against inexperienced corners, that could be a mismatch.
Very, very good point there, Paul, because now what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to go trips, different combinations from those wide receivers to open up things in the rubs and all the different route combinations. This is where they will play huge into this game because of the inexperience.
Now, New Orleans will need a big game out of defensive end Cameron Jordan. Had 10 sacks last year. He went to the Pro Bowl.
He most certainly did, and he had a great year. But having said that, this is a completely different season. So he's going to be challenging outside Flowers and Newhouse. So you have to be careful. His best move is going from the stab to an inside, and he does a lot of different things to move inside, as you see, into that three technique position. So he's going up against the guard, so he has more space to work.
And last week, the Raiders ran for over 160 yards and three touchdowns against this team, averaged over 6 yards a carry.
It's going to be huge for the Giants offense to be able to do this because they will be able to control the time of possession, and they will be able to control and wear down the Saints defense come the third and fourth quarter, as long as they can build upon last week and even better this week.
All right, David, it's the Giants home opener against the New Orleans Saints Sunday at 1 o'clock right here at MetLife Stadium. And don't forget, if you want to join us for Giants Press Conference Live here on MSG, we're going to be at our new time each and every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, catch the encore presentations around the clock on MSG. We'll see you then.